to a shady place. He's like the dark, but I'd warn him. It's fire, 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 it's out of ball. It's fire, 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 it's out of ball. It's fire, 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 it's out of ball. Gigantic, gigantic.
Past the hour of 4 a.m. here on Sunday, Mother's Day, May the 8th, 2016. You're tuned to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org, and we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved in the conversation, and to do that, you have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, I would love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the woods. That number again, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. Be right back as soon as I get my act together. We'll be right back. Okay, 8 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Metro. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this edition of Brown Perspective on Sport, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in conversation, just have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. Let's go to Major League Baseball. Yesterday, Yankees 8, Red Sox 2. In the first game of a doubleheader, the A's defeated the Orioles 8-4. In the second game, the O's came back and they won 5-2. And I believe that puts them in first place in the American League East. Other scores: Rangers 10 and the Tigers 5. Royals 7 and Cleveland zip. Mariners 3 and the Astros 2. The Rays 4 and the Angels 2. Over in the National League, Cardinals 6 and the Pirates 4. The Cubs 8 and the Nationals 5. Giants 2 and the Rockies 1. The Diamondbacks 4 and the Braves 2. The Brewers 13 and the Reds 7. Phillies 4 and the Marlins 3. The Mets 6 and the Padres 3. And in interleague play, the Dodgers defeated the Blue Jays 6-2. In that Red Sox loss, Mookie Betts went 2-for-4. He's hitting .254 on the season. Dustin Pedroia went 0-for-4. He's hitting .308. Xander Bogaerts went 1-for-4. He's hitting .311. David Ortiz went 0-for-4. He's hitting .301. Hanley Ramirez went 1-for-3 with an RBI. He's hitting .292. Travis Shaw went 0-for-3. He's hitting .306. Brock Holt went 1-for-3 with an RBI. He's hitting .284. Jackie Bradley went 1-for-3. Scored a run. Got the RBI. Hitting .277. Hit his third home run of the season. And Christian Vasquez went 0-for-3. He has a .220 batting average. David Price. Oh, all the pundits are going to be on David Price. All the big money and not producing. Went 4 2/3 innings. Gave up 7 hits, 6 runs. All of them earned. Walked 3 with 4 strikeouts. And his ERA is at 6.75. That's his first loss of the season, however. The team's been hitting behind him. But he has his first loss here in Boston. Bonds came in, pitched an inning in his third, gave up 2 hits, a run, it was earned. He walked 1, struck out 1, he has a 2.81 ERA. Lane came in, pitched an inning, struck out 1, 2.57 is his ERA. And O'Sullivan just came up, he went an inning, gave up 2 hits, 1 run, that was earned, struck out 1, he has a 9.00 ERA. Major problem with the Red Sox and most baseball teams is getting your hitting and your pitching to coincide. Sometimes when the team is hitting well, the pitching isn't that great. And that's what happened in David Price's 4 wins. He didn't pitch that well in most of those wins, but the team was hitting behind him. And so therefore, yesterday was his first loss of the season. And the second Red Sox loss in Yankee Stadium in this series. And I saw all the commotion the previous night when the Red Sox lost. On David Ortiz swung at a pitch. The first pitch was inside, and he fouled it off. And the next 5 pitches were also off the plate, but he got struck out on them. It's like, you got to be kidding me. That was a mea culpa. Right, I was waiting to say that on the program. Ron Culpa was the umpire. I mean, he was, I don't know what he was drinking between innings, but he was so far off. It just wasn't even close. First, matter of fact, the strike two was not only not over the plate, but it was outside and low in the right-handed hitter's batter's box. So, you know, it wasn't even close. The other pitch was over the plate, but it was low and also the ball. But, hey. Ortiz got heaved. Farrell got heaved. I guess if I was playing, I'd have got heaved too, because I'm saying, you got to be kidding me. Bases were loaded. That would have been a walk. That would have scored the tying run. Who knows what would happen after that. Hanley Ramirez struck out after the swinging, after the Ortiz strikeout. But that certainly bailed out the Yankees. And now the Yankees are on a 2-0 winning streak. Red Sox are 0-2 after coming out of Chicago looking pretty good. I think they were in first place for a while. But anyway, that happens, I guess, you know. All the people who, you know, talk about sports, they say, you know, umpiring is a judgment call. You can't take the judgment calls out of the game. You don't want too many breakdowns. They're already saying that baseball is much too slow. As far as the speed of the game is concerned, yeah, the length of the game is concerned. So you add any more to that by looking at having the manager the ability to appeal balls and strikes, that would slow it down to a crawl, and nothing would ever happen. Get that done. But I think there should be some way of, like what the National Basketball Association is doing in the playoffs. They're announcing after the game calls in the latter part of the game that the umpire is blue, that the referee is blue. And I think they should do that. And I think, you know, some kind of record should be kept, and umpires should be fined or, you know, whatever. Because that's ridiculous. You know, when you think of the basketball refereeing scandal, where a guy went to jail for betting on games that he was refereeing, or other games that his buddies were refereeing. You know, something needs to be done to make sure. If you're going to be on top of the players for using, you know, illicit drugs, you know, why shouldn't you be on the umpires who have such a, you know, and referees who have such a major part to play in the operation of the game? Let's keep it clear. Let's keep it fair. They can't blame the pitchers for deflating the baseballs. But, you know, if we're watching what the players do, we should certainly be watching what the umpires, referees, and whoever else is out there with some kind of judgment calls are doing as well. That's my perspective anyway. Hey, like I said, this is a call-in show. If you like to have a different perspective on what I'm saying or something that I missed or whatever, give me a call. 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. Before we get off baseball, let's look at the standings. Yeah, like I said, the Orioles went 1-1 yesterday, so they're 17-12. Red Sox lost, they're 17-13, half a game behind. And the Blue Jays also lost, so that makes them 16-16 on the season. Tampa Bay and New York are bringing up the rear. Out in the Central Division, Chicago White Sox, who we handled fairly well. I think we took 2 out of 3. What did the White Sox do yesterday? I know I have it here somewhere. Well, I guess they didn't play. Not on my sheet, or maybe I just missed them altogether. I'm surprised that Cleveland is in second place. And the Cleveland Indians, they lost yesterday. They lost to the Royals 7-0. Cleveland is 14-13. Detroit Tigers lost. They're 14-15. World champion Kansas City Royals, they won. They're 15-14. So it's a close race, but Chicago still has a fairly hefty lead. Minnesota's bringing up the rear. Out in the American League West, Seattle Mariners, they won yesterday, making them 18-12. Texas Rangers won. And they are 17-14, a game and a half behind. Followed by the Angels, Oakland, and Houston. Over in the National League, Washington went into Chicago with a big series on the line, and they They lost the first two games or three games out there. Chicago is 23-6, running away with the Central Division. Washington is 19-11, followed by New York, Miami, Philadelphia, and Atlanta, way behind. On the Central Division, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Cincinnati, and Milwaukee in that order. Out west, surprisingly, the Colorado Rockies. What did they do last night? Rockies lost, making them 14-16. San Francisco may have jumped into back in the first place. The Giants, they won yesterday. Excuse me. Yeah, so the Giants are back in first place, followed by the Dodgers, Arizona, and San Diego. Excuse me. It's still much too early, as far as I'm concerned, to make any definitive decisions as to who's going to do what. But I think the Red Sox have a shot as long as they can avoid injury. And I don't think the starting pitching is as bad as everyone's been proclaiming it to be. Oh, so many people have been proclaiming it to be. I just hope that David Price doesn't have Kyle Crawford-itis. Kyle Crawford came from Tampa Bay to the Red Sox. Big salary. And in, you know, Tampa Bay, baseball is like, I don't know, so far behind swimming and surfing and whatever else they do down there, chasing away, getting away from the boa constrictors and all the other wild animals that are on the loose. That there isn't that much, you know, publicity. And Kyle Crawford was aware of the, first of all, he had an injury when he first came. And trying to play through that, and then hearing all the different comments, reading all the different comments, and you know, because baseball is a major sport, if not the major sport here. Otherwise, I think baseball was the major sport until the Patriots came along. But anyway, he just, you know, got caught up in the fact that people were on his case about what he was doing. He wasn't doing much. And hopefully David Price hasn't caught Kyle Crawford-itis. Yeah, actually, Kyle Crawford's career has gone down the drain. Hasn't done anything since he got traded to L.A. either. So not just the, and I guess there's more press out there as well. So not the Boston press that got in his case. He has the carryover into his National League career as well. 421 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet. www.wmfo.org. Multicasting and iTunes.com, radio and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this edition of A Brown Perspective, this Mother's Day edition. Hope you guys are taking care of your mothers out there. Have great plans for your mothers out there this day. And wives, and all the grandmothers and great-grandmothers, spiritual mothers, do something nice for them this day. That's an order. I'll be back.
At the age of 20, I was in a chemical explosion that left me blind for 31 years.
Thanks to a cornea transplant, John was able to see his wife for the first time in 31 years, and his children for the first time ever.
I looked across and my wife's face was very clear. I told her, I'd like you to know that I can see you now. And I really want you to know, Nita, that the years have been very kind to you. I approached my children, and I couldn't say anything, not a word. All I could do was hold my children and weep. It was totally amazing to see these people. For the first time in my life, I was looking at my children. And at that time, I just simply folded up my folding cane and put it in my back pocket, and I never had to use it since.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
And the message is brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:30 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time I'm host Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. to get involved in the conversation. Just have to give me a call, 617-627-3800, 617-627-3800. Before we get off baseball and the Boston Red Sox, I guess the to me, the big surprise, I wouldn't say, well, maybe, yeah, so surprise, is that Travis Shaw not only won the third base job down in spring training, but picked up from last year and seems like he's doing just as good, if not better, than he did last year, hitting .306 right now with some power. I think, what, he hit 17 home runs in a portion of the season last year. If he can approximate that and still hitting the 300s, we have a keeper. What they do with Pablo Sandoval afterwards is that's their problem. excuse me. Xander Bogaerts is up at 311 again after getting off to a slow start. Second best hitter in the American League last year. Looks like he's not a fluke. And all those people were talking about, well, he's not hitting home runs. I don't care. You are the second best hitter in the American League. That's good enough for me. Let the guys behind you drive in the runs, hit the home runs. That's what we're paying Ortiz and Ramirez and the other guys for. Dustin Pedroia is healthy, playing great second base as usual, hitting .308. He was on fire out in Chicago. He got cooled off a little bit here in the Yankees series. But you know what he can produce if he's healthy. Mookie Betts has been in a slump in Chicago. Got two hits yesterday, broke to break out of it, hitting .254. Mookie is a potential 300 hitter. So, and, excuse me. David Ortiz, his final year, hitting .301 with power. What can you ask? I, you know, yell and scream at the umpires all you want, Dave. Brock Holt is playing a steady defense out in left field. He's hitting .284. Somebody was saying that, well, maybe as a regular, they're going to get the book out on him. He won't be as productive as he has been since he wasn't in the lineup all the time. So far, so good. He's adjusting to whatever they're doing, and he's doing it well. And Jackie Bradley Jr., I guess, behind Travis Shaw, his .277 with three home runs and his good defense in center field is making him, you know, maybe the second best surprise of the season thus far. I like our shot. I like our chances. I think, you know, when we get, if we can get Rodriguez and Kelly back healthy, and that's going to be a question, what's going to happen when they come back? As far as where are they going to be in the rotation, or are they going to be in the rotation, or will they? You know, last time out, Buchholz had a good outing. you got to stick with Price; you were paying him all the money, so therefore he's going to be in the rotation. Porcello had a good game night before last, even though he lost. like I said, on that questionable umpiring call behind the plate on David Ortiz's at bat. Like I said, that would have tied the score if he'd gotten that walk, which he deserved. but anyway, excuse me. I think that we are on par with virtually every team in the American League East. Tampa Bay, they got so many new names. You can't get a real good, especially the new names in their starting lineup. The pitching has been pretty good, and that's been their strength all along. But hitting has been the problem. But so far, they've been able to combine. Hello there. Somebody's out there having a race. Hey, tell them that the race in Boston has been canceled. Cool it out there. 4:34 in the morning, they're racing up and down College Avenue. That's not going to work. Anyway, Red Sox, I think, have a fairly good shot staying healthy of coming out as the best team in the American League East. So, we'll see what happens. 4:35 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And I don't know if I mentioned, you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. Let's go to the, where are we going next, Darnley? Okay, we're going to go to the National Basketball Association playoffs. Playoffs, yes, there are playoffs going on. Even though the Celtics exited in the first round after getting two wins, I thought this was a very great season for the Boston Celtics, all things considered. If you didn't hear me last week, I'm going to repeat, not verbatim, but the general thoughts, that having two wins in the playoffs with guys hurting, Bradley out after the second game, Jay Crowder playing on one leg because of that high ankle sprain, couldn't hit a shot, couldn't play the defense that he normally plays, Olynyk not available much of the series because of his shoulder. I don't know what happened to Jared Sellinger. Probably because of the fact that, aside from Isaiah Thomas, we weren't getting much outside shooting. Evan Turner, I thought, had a great year. Didn't come through as you would like in the playoffs. But anyway, he's a guy I would keep, even though he's a free agent. I would definitely go out of my way to sign him up. But anyway, yesterday in the playoffs, the Raptors defeated the Heat 95-91. Toronto leads that series 2-1. Game 4 is going to be in Miami as well. And also, the Trailblazers got into the winning column, defeating the Warriors without Seth Curry 120-108. Golden State leads that series 2-1. I look forward to seeing Seth Curry in game number 4, which would also be out in Portland. In the other series, the Cavaliers are pounding the Hawks. They lead that series 3-0. And the Spurs lead the Thunder 2-1. Everybody's talking about, maybe we should come back to that a little bit later. I was going to talk about the draft and the Celtics picks and everything else. I'll give you a rundown of some of the guys who are coming out in the draft, and we'll see. I'll give you my perspective on who I think Celtics should get, could get, would get, hopefully can get. National Hockey League playoffs. Let me find all my stats. Oh, they're right here. Don't have to go far. Last night, the Blues defeated the Stars 4-1. The St. Louis leads that series 3-2. And in the other series, the Capitals defeat the Penguins 3-1. And what is this? The Capitals defeat the Penguins 3-1. Pittsburgh leads that series 3-2. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, what do you want for 4:38 in the morning? I don't function that well when it's not that early, though. So there you go. In the other series, the Lightning lead the Islanders 3-1. And the Sharks and the Predators are tied at 2 apiece. I'll tell you the truth. With everything that's going on in my life, I haven't been able to follow National Hockey League. With the Bruins not in it to win it, I just haven't been paying that much attention. I think Pittsburgh is going to prevail over the Capitals. They've been known to choke in the playoffs. It's going, because this game is going, the sixth game is going back to Pittsburgh. The Blues and the Stars, I'm surprised a little bit that the Blues are ahead of the Stars. I haven't seen, I don't know if Tyler Seguin is playing in that series. But anyway, I picked the Stars, I believe, to win in that series, so we'll see what happens. In the other series, I'm pretty sure the Lightning going to prevail over the Islanders, and I think I got the Predators prevailing over the Sharks, but I'll admit I am not. I really don't have the time to spend watching the National Hockey League. Like I said, the Bruins stay in it. I probably watch it a little bit more closely than I am doing right now. Okay, 4:40 is the WMFO time. Sound Brown Perspective on Sports. Sounds of Praise is coming your way at 5 a.m. I invite you to stay tuned for great gospel music, and we'll be back shortly. Don't you go anywhere.
meet the faces of influenza, groups who should be immunized every year.
I have a chronic medical condition.
Asthma.
I have COPD, a serious lung disease.
Pregnant during influenza season.
We live with a baby under 6 months old.
We're in the group 6 months through 18 years.
Age 50 or older.
Care for someone at risk.
Live with someone at risk.
I live with someone at risk.
The American Lung Association asks, do you see your family or yourself here? I'm Christy Yamaguchi. As one of the many faces of influenza, you and I and those close to us need to get vaccinated. In an average year, about 36,000 people die from influenza and its complications. See your healthcare provider about getting vaccinated. It's a safe and effective way to prevent influenza. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza isn't the common cold. It's serious.
This message addresses seasonal influenza, a public service message from the American Lung Association.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sport. 4:46 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, talking sports regularly every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. Still not too late to get in some conversation. 617-627-3800 is the magic number, 617-627-3800. Okay, yesterday at Churchill Downs, the 142nd running of the Kentucky Derby, Nyquist, the voting favorite, won and won 8 straight in a row. And Exaggerator finished second, and Gunrunner was third. So if you're a racing fan, maybe we're going to have another Triple Crown repeater. Who knows? Here again, I don't follow horse racing that closely, so I'll be looking on just to see what happens at the Preakness, I'm assuming. Nyquist is going to be entered into the Preakness down there in Baltimore. Okay, 4:47. I'm going to talk about the NBA draft. One aficionado who follows it, and he puts out his standings. I looked at them. He has Ben Simmons going number one. He's a power forward from LSU, freshman coming out. Brandon Ingram, he's the Kevin Durant type player coming out of Duke, small forward, but he's about 6'10 and kind of thin. But anyway, great shooter, scorer. We'll see. He has Jamal Murray, a point guard from Kentucky, going number three. Chris Dunn, a point guard from Providence, number four. Dragan Bender, power forward from Croatia, 7 feet tall. Kind of thin from what I've seen. And here again, how far is he away from making the NBA and any impact, I guess, is what you want to say on the NBA because of the difference in the game and his size. A lack of he's tall, but you need some pounds on that body. Buddy Hield, he has going next. She's a shooting guard from Oklahoma. I would rate Hield a lot higher. I haven't seen a whole lot of Jamal Murray and Chris Dunn, but I would say, to me, Hield would be the number three pick, if in my estimation. Of course, I don't know what the number three team is going to want, but to me, okay, let's say Simmons, Ingram, and Hield would be 1, 2, 3 as far as people I would love to see the Celtics get. Then he has Henry Ellenson, power forward from Marquette. Can't say I saw any of his games. Marques Chris, a power forward from Washington. Know nothing about him either. Jacob Poelty, center from Utah. Don't think I saw him. Jaylen Brown, no relation. Small forward from California. Scal Labissiere, center from Kentucky. Labissiere, I think, falls into the same category as Dragan Bender. 7 feet, a little taller than that, maybe. 7'1", no, you know. But very thin. Very thin. If you draft somebody like that, you're hoping that he can progress and also put on some weight. Which should not be a problem, but here again, some people put on weight and then it affects their ability to move up and down the court, so you don't want to go overboard. But you sign a guy like that, you get a nutritionist to to live with him. Then there's Domantas Sabonis. I remember his father playing for Portland. He's a power forward from Gonzaga. Saw a little bit of him. Didn't look bad in what little bit I saw. Denzel Valentine is next on this list. Small forward from Michigan State. He looked pretty good. He came back from injury. And even though State did not go as far as I thought they would go in the playoffs, what little I saw of him, he looked pretty good. But small forward, I'm not sure that's a Celtic need. And Devonta Davis, a power forward also from Michigan State, rounds out this the top 14 in this estimation of this person who follows college basketball and is determining who are the top players and ranking the top players in the coming draft. Now, we all know about Kevin Durant being a free agent. And to be truthful, there aren't that many other great free agents coming out this year. Al Horford from Atlanta. Horford looked to me like he's playing against the Celtics. He looked a lot better than I had seen him, remembered him playing. He's developed an outside shot, three-point shot for that matter. But at 6'9", maybe he's a Jared Sullinger who's older but perhaps in a little better shape. So, are we improving if we go for an Al Horford? Maybe if you added Kevin Durant and an Al Horford, that would be, something that you would, Jeff Teague, surprisingly, is a free agent from Atlanta. He looked really good. He's been struggling against Cleveland, however. But he's somebody I would consider, primarily because even though we are pretty well loaded at point guard, he has the experience, and you know what you're going to get. He's not a guy I would give a max contract to. The only one I would give a max contract to would be Kevin Durant. Now, there are also trade possibilities, and you have no clue. I have no clue who our trade partners would be. And I guess the trade partners would be based upon, where the ping pong balls fall and where our draft picks are going to be. I don't think people are going to be jumping off the board to trade with us for any of the people that we would consider trading, because I'm assuming guys like Isaiah Thomas, although Dan Angel said that nobody's untradeable, but I don't think Isaiah Thomas is going to be traded. What we need are more pieces to add to that. And to be truthful, like I said, Ben Simmons, even as the top player in the coming out this year, I think would be 2, maybe even 3 years away from being a tremendously impactful player. And so maybe since free agency, unless, like I said, we can really woo Kevin Durant to come, and even Kevin Durant is not a person. If you gave up no one from this present team, and you're going to have to, chop some of the players who didn't play that much just to make room for him in his, max contract. Kevin Durant would make us perhaps get out of the first round. I'm not sure how much further he would make us go as far as, I think we have a better team and probably a better coach team than he has out there with Oklahoma City. And if he wants to win a title, he and Isaiah Thomas would certainly be a formidable 1-2 punch, more so than what we have right now with the players who are presently on our ball club. We don't have anyone that's going to be the number 1, 2, or 3 scorer in the league, except perhaps maybe Isaiah Thomas, who's probably not going to be that high either. Because at point guard, we were looking for him to also distribute the ball. So, Kevin Durant, if that happens, but I'm not holding my breath on that one. I'm looking like just got a Ben Simmons, a Brandon Ingram, maybe even a Buddy Hield, and let's try to continue to build through the draft. We have 8 draft picks, 3 in the first round, 5 in the second round. I'm sure that, and here again, since there aren't that many other free agents coming out. I didn't mention Harrison Barnes, I believe, is a free agent from Golden State. Small forward, can shoot. Sort of like in the, I don't know, Jeff Green mold, Evan Turner mold of player. A good pick to have coming off the bench for you, maybe even starting in some instances. But he hasn't, to me, not been a, you know, a good player, very good player. And maybe, he, you know, because he's a team player, his stats haven't just knocked me out as far as what's been going on. But he's someone that would certainly add to the bench of the Boston Celtics for this coming season. It's 4:56 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. And this is the Sunday, Mother's Day, May the 8th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Just about ready to wrap things up here. Before we go any further, I guess before we go any further, we can't. We're up against the clock. I just wanted to say before we go any further that we have a special Mother's Day program coming your way on Sounds of Praise from 5 until 8 a.m. You don't want to miss that. Let mom stay in bed, make breakfast for her, turn on the radio, internet, or your computer, or whatever, and let her listen to a special Mother's Day program in her honor. Okay, before we sign off, from a Brown perspective on sports, go to the New England Patriots. The hue and cry from all of the sports followers here in the media was that the Patriots did not get a running back in the draft or in free agency. And I said to myself, we really probably don't need it if Deion Lewis and LeGarrette Blount are coming back off injuries, and we got Donald Brown from free agency. And we had Joey Losefa, who looked pretty good in my estimation. And then there's also the special team player whose name skips my mind right now. I could say Brandon Browner, but that's not. But anyway, you know who I mean if you're a Celtic, if you're a Patriots fan. And I said, you know, Joey Losefa looked pretty good, and we have our fullback coming back off injury, who, you know, runs the ball fairly well and catches passes out of the backfield and also blocks for Tom Brady. And he was sorely missed in the playoffs, certainly. But anyway, the Patriots cut Losefa. I could not understand that one. I thought that he was a keeper. Maybe they're going to bring Steven Jackson back. Maybe they're negotiating when they find out how much money they have left. Maybe that's what they're going to do. I thought he did. You know, he didn't get enough opportunity to get into the system. But if he has anything left in the tank, he's certainly a warhorse. We'll see what is going to happen there. But Losefa, I thought, is a guy that I would keep. And maybe they're figuring that he's going to not get picked up by anybody, and we'll get him back on the taxi squad when all things are said and done. But anyway, I think the draft overall, considering we got our first round pick stolen from us, went pretty well. We covered some areas through draft and through trades and free agency pickup. And so, therefore, I look for the Patriots to certainly be at the top of the heap as far as playoffs this year is concerned. And that's even with the 4-game suspension. But I'm so glad that